Sam.
Morning, Al.
Morning, recovery people everywhere. Morning, Hamish. It's the weekend.
It's April the 27th.
It's and the last day of me being 60.
Ah, it's your birthday tomorrow.
Hooray.
Yay. This is from Opening Doors Within. Hope everyone's well. Why not be an optimist about this?
Mm-hmm. Always look on the bright
no,
side.
No, that's what it says.
Ba-dum.
Who was that? Is it? Oh, what's?
Don't give up the day job.
I know. Oh, what's that song? Why are you being optimist about this?
No idea.
April the 27th. Let's start again from Opening Doors Within. Why not be an optimist in this life? Always expecting the best. Always finding the best. Always creating the best. Optimism leads to power. Pessimism leads to weakness and defeat. Let the power of the Spirit shine in and through you, creating around you a world of beauty, peace and harmony. When your outlook on life is optimistic, you lift all those souls around you, giving them hope, faith and belief in life. You always find that like attracts like. That your optimism will create optimism and will snowball. There's always hope in life, even if it is but a tiny flickering spark to begin with. When it is surrounded with hope and love in the right atmosphere, that tiny spark will be fanned into a flame, and it will grow and grow until you are on fire with the fuel of the Spirit, which is unquenchable and inextinguishable. Once it has been ignited, nothing will be able to stop it spreading. Bastille. I'm going to be an optimist about this.
Okey-doke.
I like that. I've always thought that we've all got that tiny spark within us, and it's been covered up by resentment and fear and selfishness and dishonesty. And when you come into AA, you start weeding out all the things and you start fanning the flame so it ignites and you know you get more of the power, don't you? It says, you know, you get that power back. And you know, if you just think about it, when you're pessimistic, that leads to weakness and defeat. Well, that's where my alcoholism took me. I had to be defeated.
Well, if you talk about, you know, manifesting, you know, about self-fulfilling prophecies, then, you know, if you're worrying all the time about negative outcomes, then they're more likely to happen. Whereas if you're optimistic and positive, then they're more likely to happen. So it makes sense to try and have a positive mindset and be optimistic and therefore, you know, stay on a path where you're kind of moving towards, you know, the good outcomes as opposed to sort of subconsciously moving towards the bad ones.
Well, they do say your thoughts are so important, you know, and, you know, that your thoughts can change the biology, you know, by, well, it's a very, I can't explain it, Bruce Lipton tells it brilliantly.
I think it was Descartes, the French philosopher, who said, I think, therefore I am. You know, without your thoughts, you don't exist. You know, it's like the words in your head, the mind, the consciousness, you know, they're very powerful as regards, you know, your experience of...
Alexa, stop.
...reality. Alexa, stop. I have the power. You know, you say those two words and the noise stops.
It's great, isn't it?
That's optimistic, isn't it? You're optimistic
that it's going to work.
That saying that will have the desired effect.
Has your birthday cake risen?
You're optimistic that the mixture you put in the tin will turn into a marvellous cake.
Aww.
Yeah, I can see it from here. It looks great. Bit early for cake, but
we're going so we've got to
very exciting.
Yeah, I like that. I like the And when it grows and grows, you're on fire with the fuel of the Spirit. That's the power. Fuel, isn't it?
We need,
which is unquenchable and inextinguishable when you keep fanning it. But you have to, you have to keep fanning it, don't you?
Yeah.
With work. You know, we need to constantly be, you know, doing work on ourselves, because our heads will tell us we haven't got this illness if we stop doing the work. You know, how many times, time and time again, oh, I stopped my prayers, meditation, oh, I stopped my meetings, I haven't phoned my sponsor, I didn't do any service. Oh, and I don't know how it happened, but I just picked up.
Yeah.
You lost the conscious contact.
Your energy gets
sort of, depleted.
Yeah, depleted, yeah.
You're not getting that power from... Yeah. From the service that you're doing and helping others and
doing God's work.
And then you start thinking more about yourself, don't you? Oh, I'm fine to go back out to work. I need to work now. And yeah, it's okay. So we need to keep doing the work, don't we?
Yeah, I like going to meetings and kind of being present and listening and then thinking, oh, I've thought of something that might be useful to somebody. And maybe I'll share that, you know,
Or I've picked up a tip.
And I do. And I think, well, that's good. I've made a contribution, you know, and my energy rises. You know, and sometimes people say, I liked what you said, you know, and I think, oh, you know, that's...
That helps.
It's kind of confirmed, you know, that I've made a good decision to open my mouth and say something, you know, and it takes a bit of courage to open your mouth and be a bit optimistic that... what you've got to say is useful, and you know, but it just takes a bit of courage, you know, not a huge amount, but a little bit, you know, because we all doubt ourselves, you know, and that's the constant struggle, isn't it, between the positive and the negative, courage and fear, the optimism and the pessimism, the light and the dark.
It's the yin and the yang.
The yin and the yang.
It's finding the balance between Shiva and Shakti, the stillness and the energy. It's the balance, masculine and feminine energy.
And I mean, you go down the scientific route, and you know, quantum physics experiments have demonstrated that certain experiments, the results are different when it's observed. You know, so the presence of a mind affects reality.
Yeah.
And it's like, how the hell does that happen? How is that possible? But it is a real thing, you know.
Yesterday, you know, I went up to do my course and, you know, learning about the science behind my quantum healing. You know, that if, like the Indians have said, you know, we have koshas, we have different layers of our body, and our energetic body can travel and be in the same place as our physical body. And I think, whoa.
Yeah.
Bit of quantum.
Yeah. So optimism leads to power.
Yeah. Can I just pause for a sec?
So as Bill sees it, what?
Okay.
Recovery through giving. For a new prospect, outline the programme of action, explaining how you made a self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, and why you are now endeavouring to be helpful to him. It is important for him to realise that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital part in your own recovery. Actually, he may be helping you more than you are helping him. Make it plain that he is under no obligation to you. In the first 6 months of my own sobriety, I worked hard with many alcoholics. Not a one responded. Yet this work kept me sober. It wasn't a question of those alcoholics giving me anything. My stability came out of trying to give, not out of demanding that I receive. That's from the Grapevine, January 1958, and from the Big Book.
So within his first 6 months, he was already helping people.
Yeah, working hard with many alcoholics, you know, and struggling. But...
He stayed sober.
And he was on his own, you know. He didn't have a fellowship, he didn't have a book, he didn't have any kind of reputation of a organization or anything. He just had this idea,
mm-hmm.
and he had this conviction that he had to work with other alcoholics in order to maintain his own sobriety. That was the only thing that would stop him from drinking.
Silkworth found that, didn't he? He said, you completely change when you're in the hospital, when you're helping others.
Yeah.
You lit up.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And it's a shame when you've got people, you know, the treatment centres and the success and growth of AA and the kind of dilution of that original kind of certainty around service, you know, that the people have been taken through the steps so slowly, you know, that they don't get to work with others, you know, for a long time, you know. I mean, it's like, if you take a year to get to step 12, you know, where's the service to others coming from? I don't know. You know, that's what worries me, that, you know, it says in the big book, nothing ensures immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics, you know. That's, so it's like, if you want immunity from drinking, work with other alcoholics.
Mm.
And in order to be able to pass on the solution, you need to have been given that solution by, you know, the fellowship, by a sponsor. And hence, it makes sense to crack on. And I was lucky to get in the line of sponsorship that allowed me to do that. You know, so I was sponsoring that, I think, at 4 months.
I think that's because, you know, you're a different fellowship to AA. You know, CA does it quickly, doesn't it? And, you know,
there's some CA sponsors who don't necessarily go. It depends on the individual to some extent, you know. You've got to have the ability to, you know, go through the book. Some people aren't able to do that.
And, you know, there are people that have been in for quite a while and then started the steps. You know, everyone, that's what is probably so good about AA, isn't it?
Mm.
Because, you know, we're all individual and we all have individual needs. And
I know I wind people up, you know, and when I talk about it in AA, you know, a lot of people disagree with me.
Mm.
And, you know, it's not their experience.
Mm.
And, you know, it's like this idea of having being very thorough and having a firm foundation. I think you've probably got the balance about right, you know, with the way you sponsor, given your success rate.
Well, it's,
but
it's,
you do get on with it.
Yeah, and it's the people that are willing. You know, my criteria is, are you willing to go to any lengths, you know? And are you prepared to take someone else through?
Mm.
And the third thing, you have to be open, honest and willing.
Mm.
You know, if you're not honest, then there's no relationship.
It doesn't work. Mm.
And that means both ways, so yeah.
Mm.
It's good, isn't it, Al? It's good.
Outline the programme of action.
Mm.
Mm.
And, you know, I'd, for me personally, as soon as I came out of treatment, I had to get a sponsor. I had to get out of my resentments.
Mm.
Otherwise, I was going to drink. I had to get out of my fear. I had to get out of my selfishness.
Yeah.
I had to get rid of my blaming everyone.
Mm.
So,
get out of the pain.
You know, I had to do it quickly because I had no defence against the first drink.
Mm.
So, for me, I had to do it. And there's other people that manage, maybe they didn't quite go down so far down the line of being, you know, horrendously addicted like I was at the end.
Mm.
I couldn't function at the end, could I?
No.
So, you know, for me it was life or death. I had to get better really quickly. So
I think
I put everything into it.
You know, you go back to that first reading about optimism, pessimism and, you know, manifesting outcomes and, you know, I think that action, you know, if you're depressed, do something, you know, do something useful, you'll feel better. You know, if you're suffering from addiction, alcoholism, you know, a spiritual malady, the mental obsession, the physical allergy, that threefold illness, then doing nothing is going to be really, really painful. And you hear about that a lot, you know, people stop drinking and they're just in their, and it's just
horrendous.
Really, really difficult. Really difficult. You might not be having withdrawal symptoms, but your life's just...
Well, I experienced it after my first treatment centre.
Yeah, your life's just so kind of painful. And but if you're doing something, if you're on a path and you feel that you're moving in a direction towards, you know, freedom, serenity, then, you know, that taking action, you know, in of itself helps you feel better, because you think, well, I'm doing something, you know, I've got hope, I've got a reason to be cheerful, to be optimistic, because it's worked for other people, and if I do this, it'll work for me, you know, and that's, you know, so it's, therein lies the logic of, you know, getting on with it.
Thank you, Al.
You know, an alcoholic, when an alcoholic, you know, a person drinks, you know, you take a drink, a pint of lager, you know, you're not drunk. You have to drink several pints of lager to get drunk, you know, but if you smoke a spliff or smoke some crack or do a line of coke, or you're off your head
instantly.
Straight away. You know, so that's the power of drugs as opposed to the power of the liquid drug alcohol, you know. They work much quicker, more powerful, more addictive, you know, and more dangerous as regards a relapse. You know, you're right back, you know, and therefore, you know, if you're struggling with drug addiction, doing nothing isn't an option. You know, you've got to get on with the work, otherwise you're going to use.
But I think, you know, also applies to if you've been really quite poorly with alcoholism and you relapse and you take a bottle of vodka, that's led to a lot of deaths.
Well, sure, you know, I mean, the first drink kicks off the allergy, you know, you're going to get drunk. Mm. I'm not denying that at all, you know, but it's just that
a lot of people have been caught out like that. They've been sober for a while and had a relapse and drank exactly the way that they left off, and the body hasn't had no time to get used to it.
You know, if I just started drinking, then I'd probably get coke and I'd have a heart attack.
Yeah.
I'd be dead.
Best not to.
No, best not to, aye.
Don't want to, though, do you?
Best to carry on with the, you know, my body is a temple. Apart from cake.
Thanks, Al.
Yeah.
Have a lovely day, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, Sam.